Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Well, you find Romans chapter 12 this morning. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about this subject for a little bit here on what it's actually a question. And the question is, what is renewing the mind? How many ever heard of renewing the mind? Let me know you never get done renewing your mind. I mean, you gain ground, of course. You know, when I came into this kingdom, I need a serious mind renewal. My mind previously was focused on drugs, doing drugs, and drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon and Bacardi's and Coke. And that was my big world. I mean, I'm not making fun of anybody that's stuck in that, because I was stuck in that. I was stuck in that lifestyle and didn't realize that, you know, God had something better for me, right? And so I needed a lot of mind renewal, and I'm glad that, you know, I spent the time, and still do, in God's Word and listening to others that know the Word and feeding on them and getting my mind renewed. But I have found out over the years that you have to keep your mind renewed, because there's always pressures from the world trying to change the way you think. It's what advertisement's about. It's to try to get you to think a certain way about their product. And I've been a sucker to that before. I don't know about you, but you found out that the best ribs in Evansville, they weren't the best ribs in Evansville. You know, the billboard lied to you. Have you ever noticed how when you see a picture of some kind of food, something, how fantastic it looks, and then when you bring it home and open the package, it doesn't look like that? And what did they do with the other half of the space in the potato chip bag? What was that for? Why are you making the bag so big? You're wasting material here. Just make half bags, because that's all you're putting in there. All right, Romans 12, you there? There's just a lot of questions we want answers for, right? Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, or you may experience, you may prove it out in your life, what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I want from my life, is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I trust you do too. Because that's, His will is always going to be the best for your life. Whether it's really what you want to do or not, it's going to be the best for you. God has your best interest in heart. How many of you know that? When he says, thou shalt not, how many know? He's not trying to curb your fun. He's trying to preserve your life, see. So it isn't like a bunch of rules and regulations. It's God putting, you know, people talk about one guy, actually, he actually left the faith. He was a Christian artist, and he just said, Christianity just has too many rules. And I'm saying, the problem is you're saying things that are guardrails as rules. There's guardrails to keep you falling off. Never been there, Pastor Jerry. You know, he told me, you know, we talked about it. He went to the Empire State Building. I think it was Pastor Jerry was telling me that. He went to the Empire State Building. Come on, family members. Did he go there? You think so? He's kind of secretive, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, I'm teasing. But no, he told me he went there, and I asked him, I said, are there guardrails up there? He said, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, You could say, get rid of these guardrails. You're just trying to curb my fun. I mean, it's not trying to curb your fun. It's trying to keep you from killing yourself, right? Because there's danger. And so God said that we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, he talked about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, your thoughts, what you think, will either conform you to the world or they'll conform you to God. So how do you know? Well, which one are you getting closer to? Whichever one you're getting closer to, whichever one you're thinking more like, that's the one that's conforming you. So there is a test for this. Am I conforming more to the Word? Am I looking more like the Word? Am I looking more like Jesus? Or am I looking more like the world? You know what I mean? When I'm talking about acting more like the world, living more like the world. Because when I got saved, I didn't realize, I just thought this, serving God, being Christian was a heaven or hell issue. And that was all there was to it. And of course, that's a big part of it, getting translated and delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God. But I didn't realize that God's word not only spoke about heaven and hell, it spoke about my health. It spoke about my finances. It spoke about the soundness of my mind. It spoke about my marriage, my relationships, my job. It had something to say about every area of my life. And if I would heed it and obey it, it'd bring prosperity, spirit, soul, and body to my life. And so the renewing of the mind began to change my life and the way I thought about things. Yes, thank God when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I'm no longer on the road to hell. I'm no longer, as that song says, on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to heaven. Praise God. That's wonderful. But I didn't realize, because so much of the church didn't preach on it or talk about it, that God had a lot more to say in His book than just about that. He wanted to make me more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. He wanted me to always triumph in Christ. He wanted me to give me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ to the point that when I die in victory. Death seems like a terrible thing. And it's not, it is an enemy of God. How many know that? The Bible calls it the last enemy. Sometimes we... you go to a funeral and you hear the minister say, well, God took them. Well, did He? Death's not God's friend. He called it His enemy. Yeah. In Corinthians. Yeah. He said it's the last enemy that will be put underfoot is death. God never created anybody to die. He didn't create your canary to die. There may be times you want to throttle the thing, but He didn't create it to die. He didn't create anything to die. He created everything to live forever. Amen. That was God. It was sin and the curse that brought in death, the Bible says. Right. Adam let death in on all of us. And let's don't judge him too badly, because we probably would have done the same thing. Not me, Pastor. I'm perfect. You're real fun to pastor, too, I can tell you that. All right. That's a joke. Everybody laugh now. Now, you understand that God did, this isn't God. God's not a friend of that. It's like a guy asked me one time, a friend of his, which was, I knew the guy, too. And he had been drinking and wrecked his motorcycle. He was racing his motorcycle while he was drinking, drunk. Had too much to drink, and he wrecked his motorcycle, hit a telephone pole, and it ended up killing him. And then the guy confronts me, his friend confronts me, because why did God, why I thought God looked out over His people, now why did He take care of him? Why did God allow this to happen? And so I just asked him a question. I said, well, who made him drink? Was it God? No. All right, who made him go drive his motorcycle recklessly? Was it God? See, when I said it to him, he caught that. It's like, no, God wasn't in any of this. It was some really bad choices on his part, which all of us have made. Thank God for mercy. But he took his life, see. And it wasn't God. God didn't have anything to do with it. But yet, you go to funerals, people say, well, God took him. Well, he didn't have anything to do with it, you know. Amen. And so he gave us a free will. We can live life how we want to live it. If you want to live on the edge, you can live on the edge. I know, I did live on the edge. I prayed those fire insurance prayers where I thought I was going to overdose on drugs and thought, man, if I die tonight, it's not going to be good. Lord, forgive me for all this stuff. But what I really meant and what God heard was, if I live on, party on. How many of God knows your heart? Amen. So, renewing the mind. Let's talk about this. I don't think we're going to get done today, but we'll be back Sunday morning. I may preach on something different Wednesday night, but let's talk about this. What is renewing the mind? Well, renewing your mind is a renovation process. Have you ever bought a house that needs renovated? You walk in there and you're like, oh my gosh, my parents lived here. There hasn't been anything updated. You know what I mean? Like the wallpaper on the bathroom, it'll blind you. Psychedelic. Amen. You know, so what do you do? See, we lived in a house one time years ago. Folks, I bought it was an old farmhouse. Well, it wasn't real old. It was 1940s. World War II house built in that era. But it had been renovated inside and out. The guy that owned it was like a foreman for a construction company. And so he took the house and he renovated it inside and out. When he renewed it, see. When you get saved, how do you know your mind needs some renovation? There's some old wallpaper needs to come down. There's some paint needs to be put on there. Amen. And so it's part of renewing or renovating your mind. Now listen to this. Renewing your mind is the process of thinking like God thinks. Isn't that something? This dawned on me one day. It may not mean much to you, but boy, it really meant something to me when I thought it. You know, the Bible is God's word. When I read the Bible, I can think a thought that God has already thought. I can tell you're excited. Think about that. That's got to be a good thought. My thoughts weren't that great up until I met Jesus Christ. But then I started thinking his thoughts. And still, I still have some thoughts I have to work on occasionally. How many know that? Yeah. Amen. And so I've done some dumb things, and I thought, boy, that was dumb. I wasn't thinking right. You got to renew your mind to think like God thinks. Think his thoughts. Yeah. So renewing the mind's thinking God's thoughts. Now listen to me. This is some things that I wanted to get across to you. Is about what renewing the mind is. You know, man. You know, when you were born again, you became a new creature in Christ, the Bible says. Doesn't it? Now, you have to understand the makeup of man. The world doesn't understand the makeup of man. The Bible tells us the makeup of man. I'll trust the Bible. Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of Jesus. So that tells me I'm spirit, I'm soul, and I'm body. Right? Now, when you know that, it helps you understand some things. Because your spirit, how many know, I'm kind of disjointed a little bit here, but people try to understand or know God by their brain. And your brain wasn't the part of you that God made to connect with him. See, an atheist, I went, and I've told you this story before, but I went and visited this atheist before I was saved. He had an atheist museum. It was the largest one, I think at that time, wasn't it, Randy? The largest one in America. And when I saw the museum and went through, I thought, boy, the atheists don't have very good museums. I mean, what are you going to talk about? You don't believe in anything. So he showed me the atheist Bible, and it was just blank pages. That brings a lot of hope to you. Here, kid, go read this book. But anyway, so we spent some time together. I was not an atheist in any shape or form. I wasn't saved, but I did believe in God. But just out of curiosity, me and a couple of friends stopped in at his museum and talked with him, And, you know, he was a nice person as far as just on a personal level. He was nice to us, wanted to play ping pong, so we played ping pong. He whipped the pants off of us, all of us. Older guy, but he was good at ping pong. And so we got to talking, and he said, "I'm going to tell you why I'm an atheist." "Okay, tell me." He said, "During World War II, my ship got bombed." He was out on the ocean. Thank God, honor the guy for his service. He was out on the ocean. His ship got bombed. He was the only survivor. And he said, "I floated out in the ocean on a raft for 2 weeks. And I said, 'God, if you're real, appear to me.'" Said he never did. I gave him 2 weeks. Now, it wasn't until later this came to me. After I got saved, I thought, just the fact you made it back ought to convince you there's a God. You ought to be thankful you're still here. Most people that float around in the ocean for 2 weeks don't live to tell about it. You know. But that was his reasoning. It was all on a mental level. But did you know your spirit man, the real you on the inside of you, Paul, the Bible calls it the hidden man of the heart, the inner man. The Bible says that we become born again when we receive Christ. That inner man is born again. Did you know that is your vertical window with God? That's your connection with God. Your mind, your horizontal window, where you see things on this plane, here in the natural. You've got to hook with that vertical window of God so that you see things down here on the horizontal level the way God sees them. You understand that God sees things on our level different than the way we see them, unless we've renewed our mind to His Word? Did you know God does not use the word incurable? Jesus never ran into anybody that wanted healing and he said, "Sorry, that's incurable." He never told a leper, "Sorry, I can't touch you." This will go over big. He never said, "Just a minute, I've got to put my mask on." He never did that. Why? He's looking at this level down here from this view. Come here, follow me. Your spirit gives you the connection with God, see. You know things when you're spiritually attuned to the Lord, to His Word. You know things that you don't know why you know it, but you know it. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. I just knew that was going to happen. How'd you know that? I'm not talking about with your grandkids. It's easy to predict them. We know which one pushed the red button and said, "Don't push or you'll blow the world up." We know which one of our grandkids did that one. And some of you that have been around some of our grandkids, you know which one pushed it too. There's one of them that would push it. There's one of them. We got one grandchild. When she was young, if there would have been a red button on the wall that said, "Push this and we're all dead," she'd say, "I wonder what would happen." I didn't name her, so all right. But you understand. How many are getting what I'm saying? You see things on a different level, different plane. When you look at it from your vertical window, you look at this horizontal window, you get the view of the vertical window from God, and it changes. That's called renewing the mind, see? It changes the way you see things in the natural now. You don't see them the same way you used to see them. Used to, when I went to, if I'd went to the doctor, and the doctor would have said, "You know, you're going to die, you got 6 months to live," that'd been all I had to look at. That's all the vision I had. That's it. But since I've spent time with God, I can look at that differently and say, well, that is subject to change. That's subject to change, you know. Or, you know, you're gonna go broke financially. Well, I already see this vertical plane where God has said that He'd meet all my needs according to His riches and glory by Wall Street. That's not what it says, is it? What's it say? By Christ Jesus. So now when I look down here and I see difficulty, which there's difficulty down on this plane. Jesus said, in the world you'll have What'd you have? Tribulation. He taught us we would. Christian people. Right? Us-ans. We'd have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. Well, how in the world do you be of good cheer if you got trouble? You know, I got this rash. I'm so excited about it. I mean, that doesn't work, does it? So that's not how you can be of good cheer, right? The only way you can be of good cheer is if you're seeing something different, you're seeing a different outcome. When Indiana played in the national championship game, I don't really get intense about sports like some people do. I may have my team. I may want them to win. If they lose, it's like I'm over it really fast. But because they were 15-0, because they had been belittled all year, predicted to lose about every game they played by some people that's supposed to know what they're talking about, and they had a chance to be 16-0, I was really, shall we say, on edge during that game. Now, I had recorded it ahead of time, so I didn't watch it from the start. And so I was really tempted to pull a Pastor Chuck and skip forward and see what happened and go back and watch it with some peace. See what I'm saying? If I know who won, I have a different outlook on what's happening, right? Because there were times during that game it looked like they could lose this game. But if I already know the end, then I know everything's fine. Just enjoy the ride. That's what Jesus is talking about. When you renew your mind, you already know the end. And you can just sit back and enjoy the ride. Doesn't mean we're not having difficulty. Doesn't mean we're not having trouble. But we got a different view. We got a vertical view of this horizontal plane. And we're seeing things down here a little differently because we've already been with the one who sees it all. The higher you get, the more you can see. I remember, you know, listen, younger people, listen to me. You may think we're old, we're antiques, we're relics. They've already got our grave dug. They're just waiting to pop us in it. But I'm going to tell you something. We've already seen some of the things that go around. Brother Hagin, you say, what you see now, we saw it 20 years ago. It didn't work then, it won't work now. All right? So now the world would have you believe the world's about to blow up and be destroyed. We're destroying the earth like us little peons could destroy what God made. I don't think so. But we were told that way back in the 70s. We weren't told about global warming. We were told about the coming ice age. And some of the winters in the 70s, they had us believing it. But we were all going to turn in. Indiana was going to be the Antarctic. Evansville was going to have polar bears. We were all going to live in igloos. Am I making this up? Anybody that lived through the 70s, it was in the magazines. It didn't happen, so they had to change it. And now we're all going to burn up. How many like a little global warming right now in Indiana? All right, so I don't pay attention to that. You know what I mean? But you get up high. But why I was saying that was because there was a guy back then, and his big deal was we're running out of space for everybody on the planet. There's too many people. I don't know what he thought we were supposed to do with them. But, you know, that and I saw, like, just last year, one of the news shows dug him out some basement somewhere and blew the dust off of him and brought him back. I'm thinking, this guy's been proven wrong like 30 years ago. What? But anyway, something different. But I remember that. And I remember the first time I got an airplane and flew, I thought, wait a minute. This guy says we're running out of space. Who lives down there? There's more of this planet not being used than is being used by a wide margin. Thank you. That doesn't make any sense. See, this is the way it happens. When we spend time with God, we begin to see this horizontal plane, this earth we live in, we begin to see it differently through different eyes. We see it through the eyes of faith now. And it's a different view. And if you don't renew your mind, you could be a Christian and not spend time with God's Word and not renew your mind to what God said. and you still see in the same way the world sees it. But you can change that view, and that's what gives you peace in life. That's what gives you joy in life, because you're not going to change what's going on out here. You know, that tribulation is going to be there, but what you can do is change your view of it, and when you get that, then you can change that in your life. When I say you're not going to change it, it's still going to go on in the earth, but it doesn't have to dominate your life. Because your mind is renewed. So we got just a few minutes here. Let me talk to you about this, okay? So renewing the mind is this. It's becoming on the outside what God has made you to be on the inside. Did you notice that we read here, Paul talking to the church, he said to present your bodies and to renew your minds. Now he's talking to the Christian people, the church at Rome, the Christians at Rome. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, do anything about your spirit man. That's because when you got born again, God did something about that. You know the scriptures. How many know the scriptures? Let me just quote them to you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So he's a new creature. What does that mean? Well, it just, when you got saved, how many of you didn't become new on the outside? The things on the outside didn't change, but everything on the inside changed. I remember those because I remember, man, all of a sudden stuff started showing up in my life that hadn't been here before, like love, peace, joy. It's like, this stuff wasn't here before, but now it's showing up. What happened? Well, the Bible says that we've come, and Hebrews, I love this scripture, Hebrews 12:23 says that you and I have come unto the spirits of just men made perfect. What's it mean? When we came into the church, we came unto men and women whose spirits have been made perfect. Remember the 1 John 4:17? As he is, talking about Jesus, so are we. We're at? In this world. See, we think, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to be like him. Well, all right, there's an element of truth about that. But what he's saying is God has made you already to be like him on the inside when you got born again. Doesn't mean you're acting like that. You got to renew your mind, right? Look at this, Philippians 2. Did you get anything this morning? Philippians chapter 2. So look at this. We're just talking about renewing your mind is becoming what on the outside what God has made you to be on the inside. Well, I don't know what God's made me be on the inside. Well, read the New Testament and you'll find out. When Paul says we're the righteousness of God, how many know that's what we are on the inside? Now we want to bring that to the outside where it manifests itself in our daily lives. Where we not only are we the righteousness of God on the inside, but we act like it on the outside. That's called renewing the mind. Some people call it sanctification. It's literally putting on, and Paul said this in Ephesians, he says, put on the new man. And he tells us how to do it. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. That's Ephesians 4. And he tells us how to do it by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have your whole mental picture changed, your whole attitude changed. That's what happened to me when I got saved, is I started listening to the Word and feeding on the Word. It's like, I begin to find out things. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, my mom was spirit-filled, born again, and I would go tell her what I'd learned. And of course, she knew it. She'd been knowing it for like years, you know. But, you know, when a new believer comes to you like that, get excited with them. They're discovering who they are. Our little great-granddaughter, we got a video from her several months ago, and it was like she just discovered her hand. And I mean, she was like, well, I don't know how old she would have been at the time, maybe a month old or something like that. She wasn't very old, a month old. And all of a sudden, she's looking at that hand, and her mom is videoing. She's just grinning from ear to ear. And then she starts laughing like, wow, look at that. She's discovering who she is, what she has. Amen. And that's the way it is with new believers. That's the way it was with me. I began to discover who I was and what I have. And I'd just be excited about it and go tell people about it. And of course, I started preaching at 4 months old in the Lord, and I just preached it to people. This is who I am. And some of them look at you like they say, a cow at a new gate, just bat their eyes like, where does young whippersnapper get that? Out of my Bible, you should have been reading it yourself. And listen to other people. Let me add that. Preach to me. A lot of it came from others preaching to me, you know, that knew. Amen. And so we put on that new man by the total renewal of our mind, changing the whole spirit of our mind. It's changed to think differently. Amen. And that God works with all of us at different levels too, different paces. You know, some people grow a little faster than others, but just keep growing. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, Paul said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his pleasure. Now, I want you to notice the two words, work out, work in. Notice he didn't say work for your own salvation. He didn't say that. He said work it out. You can't work for it. It's a free gift. So you work it out. But what is he saying? He said, well, God's worked something in you. Now you work it out of you. That's what he's saying. When we got born again, God made us a new creature. He made us in his image and his likeness on the inside. You say, well, Pastor, I know some Christians who don't act like God. Well, I do too. But it's because of a lack of renewing of the mind. If they'd renew their mind. Right? You know, listen, you renew your mind by the Word. You also renew your mind by listening to the Spirit of God. Have you ever started to do something and the Spirit of God inside of you said, don't? Absolutely. Now, you may not have heard vocally, don't, but you could tell something inside of you, as they say, is scratching. It's saying, don't do that. You ever said something and you thought, you know, all along I knew I shouldn't have said that. Well, it's the Spirit of God. What's he trying to do? Well, he's trying to get you to be on the outside what you already are on the inside. Amen. Now, see, we got to close here, but let me just say this to you. Even Jesus, now people get the idea that Jesus, you know, when he was born, he knew everything and all that because he was God. Well, yes, he was God, but did you know that the Bible tells us, and I like the way the Amplified Bible says something like this, that he put aside his Godhead privileges and he became a man. That didn't mean he put aside being God. God can't cease being God. But he didn't operate out of that realm, if I could say it that way. It's hard to put words to this. But Paul called it a mystery. But the Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom. Well, if you grew in wisdom, that means you don't have it all yet. Right? How did he grow in wisdom? Well, the Bible says that at 12, he knew more than all the teachers. At the temple. How did he do that? Well, there's a psalm, Psalm 119, 97, verse 97 through 104. It's prophetic. It's messianic. I don't have time to go there this morning, but it talks about what Jesus did. You ever heard about the silent years of Jesus? The years from 12 to 30 where we don't hear anything about his life? Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104 is a description of what Jesus was doing in those silent years. It starts out with that, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day long. Through your law, you've made me wiser than my enemies, wiser than my teachers. I've listened to your word, kept my foot from every evil way. Well, we know that's not David. How many know he sinned? It's Jesus. So it's prophetic. You'll see that in the Psalms, right? David's just writing along and he goes, they pierced my hands and feet. Well, he wasn't talking about himself. He was prophetically prophesying about Jesus. And so what was Jesus doing during those silent years? He was meditating the Word of God. He was renewing his mind to the Word. filling his mind with the word. You could say that. To the point, this is important, to the point that when he was called to the ministry, he walked into the synagogue in Nazareth in his own hometown. And they handed him, because he wanted it, the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet. He opens the scroll, goes to the place, what we now know as Isaiah 61. He goes there and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He handed it back to the attendant and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What was he saying? This, what Isaiah said in Psalm 61, is standing right here. Oh, somebody help me. Is standing today in your synagogue. That's who I am, who that was talking about. I got goosebumps on top of goosebumps. I'm in. But did you know he didn't know that at 2 years old? There was a day in those silent years before his ministry, he's meditating Isaiah and realizes, this is me. He saw himself in the Word of God. I'm telling you, when you meditate the Word, it's like a mirror. You see yourself in the Word of God. No, not your old ugly self, your redeemed self. You see who you are. It changes your mind. Amen. People say, "Come here, poor boy. I don't know who you're talking to. I'm rich in Christ. Hey, come here, sick head. I don't know who you're talking to." One of my aunts, great aunt, she used to always kiss me on the head and call me old stupid. Maybe there was reason for that in those days. But old stupid's been delivered. I've read in the book about who I am. I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. I have the mind of Christ now. I'm not old stupid any longer. She was a wonderful person, and she would just tease him, but that's what she would call me. Old stupid. Remember her Aunt Olive. Aunt Olive. Did she call you old stupid? No? See? Oh, stupid's brother. Yeah, we had an aunt. She was actually our great aunt, Aunt Olive, and she always called me old stupid. I don't know what I did to earn that title back then. I probably had it coming. But I'm just simply saying, how many are following Sam? I'm not being funny here, but the truth is, you gotta learn to call yourself what God calls you. See, Abraham changed his name from Abram to Abraham because God called him that. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he got revelation. He refused to be called that any longer. Because, why? He became the part of the people of God. Amen. And so, thank you. What is renewing the mind? Well, it's becoming on the outside what God has made you to be on the inside. You don't know that until you get into the Bible and begin to get revelation of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God told Joshua this. I'll close with this. We won't go to the scripture. God told Joshua, he said to meditate in the Word of God. I'll read it to you because I'm not quoting it very well. But you just listen to this. Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous." Then you'll have good success. How many want prosperity and good success? God's prosperity and good success. People say, well, God doesn't want you to have that. Well, he just told a man how to have it. Why would you tell a guy how to have it if he didn't want him to have it? Get this revelation. God's smarter than we are. He doesn't tell us things that he doesn't want us to know. So, what did he tell Joshua? He said, well, one thing, you're going to have... In other words, he's just telling Joshua, put the Word of God first place in your life, son. Give it first place, number one. How do you do that? Number one, he said, it won't depart out of your mouth. You talk it. Number two, you talk it. Listen, you talk it instead of the problem. Number two, you meditate on it. You meditate on it instead of the difficulty, adversity, the problem. You meditate on the word. Number three, you do it. So if you talk the word in your day, I'm talking about daily life. I'm not talking about just in your prayer time. If you talk the word, you meditate the word, you do the word, God said you'll have good success. Hallelujah. Amen. Good success is God's success. How many know that? Did you get something this morning? As Jill comes, let me just say this to you. God says good success because, you know, not all success that people have is good. If you didn't get it God's way, it might ruin your life. A lot of people have a lot of money that destroy their life, take their lives, are messed up. You know that as well as I do. A lot of people are. A lot of athletes, and I'm not knocking them, I'm just making a point. Money doesn't mean success. A lot of athletes, there's a lot of athletes, a lot of movie stars, a lot of musicians, a lot of politicians, et cetera, that have a lot of money. But I would not want their life for nothing in the world. They don't have any peace. They don't have any sanity. Their family's messed up. They're just weird. Amen. They just can't think right. They don't have good success. They may have success, but it's not good success. Good success leaves you with peace. Hallelujah. And no, God just doesn't want you to just have just peace. He wants you to have some money too. Can we say that? He's not against that. Amen. I mean, if he was, and he needs to tone his lifestyle down a little bit. I mean, I tell you what, my streets aren't made of pure gold. My gate, my front door isn't all pearl. My front door's not anything else. It's metal. But see, what I'm just saying, so, you know, people say, well, you know, if you have peace and you know God, you're a rich person. That's true. But if you renew your mind, you find out God wants to bless you in this life also. Let's all stand up. Thank God for his word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.